watching our internet edition of Nightline. Today, Bono. 2 years ago, at the G8 summit, the U2 frontman helped persuade the leaders of the world's most powerful economies to promise billions in debt forgiveness to some of Africa's poorest countries. This week, he was back at the G8 summit, pressing President Bush and other leaders to follow through on those promises. But in addition to meeting with world leaders and playing to sold-out stadiums, the rock star activist is taking a turn at journalism. His latest gig, guest editor for the July issue of Vanity Fair, which he has dedicated exclusively to stories about Africa. I sat down with him here in New York.
We're not looking for charity. We're looking for justice.
Bono, born Paul David Hewson in Dublin, Ireland, 47 years ago.
We can't fix every problem, but the ones we can, we must.
You have a touch of a messiah complex. Fair?
Yeah. That's fair. No, I mean, Kimmy, a rock star who doesn't open his arms. And you know, I tell you what my messianic complex is. I want to have fun, and I want to change the world. That's it.
The Grammy for Best Rock Album goes to...
He's won 19 Grammy Awards as the lead singer and principal lyricist for the Irish rock band U2. He became an international star with songs like I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For and With or Without You. But it was his involvement in 1984 with Band Aid, raising money for starving children in Ethiopia, that changed his life forever. Recording, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
It was soon after that that Bono made a life-changing trip to Africa.
All came from Miami, FLA.
Was there a moment when you thought, I have to do this? I have to care about Africa. I have to get other people to care about Africa.
You know, if I'm really honest with you, I'm doing this because I believe in the concept of equality as a kind of sacrament of our political life. Africa is the proving ground to whether we believe in equality or not.
Increasingly, Bono has become known as much for his humanitarian work as for his music. His Drop the Debt campaign is credited with prompting the world's major economic powers, including the U.S., into canceling hundreds of millions of dollars in loans to Africa.
I mean, 20 million children are going to school in Africa that would not without the Drop the Debt campaign. It gives me some, you know, really personal satisfaction. But that was an issue. It wasn't about charity. It was about justice.
Watch this.
Just this past spring, Bono helped organize the American Idol fundraiser. $70 million raised in just a few hours.
Very good.
Bono knows the power of cash.
The greatness of America lies with just ordinary people, regular folks, who say, that isn't right. 3,000 kids dying of malaria every day for lack of a bed net. We can fix that.
He also knows giving money is not enough.
When you're a kid, when I was even in my 20s, I thought the poverty in Africa could be solved by a deep pocket, you know?
Money.
By charity. But then I'm older and I meet somebody like Bill Gates. And you realize that as deep as his pockets are, charity won't solve this problem. And he knows that. There's a structural aspect to poverty.
I like this idea for the...
And that kind of change requires opening minds, not just pocketbooks, which is why for the last 3.5 months he has been toiling away in a new role, guest editor of the glossy monthly Vanity Fair. What are you hoping to achieve?
Deep down, my deepest desire on all this stuff, I really believe that we can be the generation that ends extreme poverty. I really believe that. And by extreme poverty, I don't mean just, you know, there's always going to be poverty.
Right.
I mean the sort of brutal, stupid poverty that has a child dying for lack of food in its belly in a world of plenty, that has a family lose their life because of a 20-cent immunization.
All right, editor-in-chief.
Bono and I have met up at Vanity Fair's New York offices, and we've been told in no uncertain terms not to pop in on editor Graydon Carter, unannounced.
Oh, good. Perfect.
I love my editor.
I brought you those, honey.
The editor and the rock star, both at the top of their games. The editor is highly regarded in his field as the rock star is in his.
Well, the thing is, we're just telling him that he's in charge.
About that, like so much else, Carter is clearly kidding. And it turns out Bono is a big jokester, too.
Where's my coffee? You're fired!
For the first time in the magazine's history, Carter has decided to let a guest editor work alongside him. Both men say the arrangement is authentic, not a mere publicity stunt. Many of the stories were assigned by Bono, who also rolled up his shirt sleeves and edited them as well.
So is the pen more powerful than the rock concert?
Ooh, good question, Cynthia. I think we need both, is the truth. I said I want to do an issue about Africa, where the sense is Africa an opportunity, Africa an adventure, not just a burden, which is the way people normally see it.
That's what we did the first day to try and imagine.
The July issue of the magazine reflects that. There is a very irreverent travelogue by comedian Chris Rock on his South African vacation. A story about a musical festival in Timbuktu. Bono has said in the past he wants to avoid what he calls the Sally Struthers problem, where Africans are seen only as victims.
Africans themselves wince, understandably, when they see pictures of their brothers and sisters with flies buzzing around the face. And they're very noble people, very proud people, very entrepreneurial people.
But the story of Africa would be incomplete without the challenges as well. And no one is more aware of that than Bono. Powerfully conveyed in these before and after photos accompanying a report on AIDS and the remarkable effects of the antiretroviral drugs, the so-called Lazarus effect.
Like Lazarus rising.
Like Lazarus rising from the dead, exactly.
Photographer Annie Leibovitz has shot not one, but 20 covers for the Africa issue. Another first. From Obama to Oprah, from Queen Rania to Jay-Z, Bishop Tutu, and Madonna. Even President Bush, of whom Graydon Carter has been frequently critical, appears on the cover with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. That was Bono's idea.
This may be the first issue of Vanity Fair that President Bush is going to enjoy for a while.
Bono has talked me into it, and I said, fine, I agree with you then. Because it wasn't my natural first choice, but it works for him, it works for me.
In fact, Bono met with President Bush, asking him to dedicate billions of dollars to providing drugs for those with AIDS in Africa. Many believe that meeting changed the president's thinking.
What I said to President Bush was, I said, look, these drugs are amazing advertisements for America. Paint them red, white, and blue. And I think he genuinely felt that it offended him that people were dying for the stupidest of reasons. A lack of two pills a day. And I think he saw it as a strategic thing. I don't care how he saw it, by the way. I just want him to get the drugs out there.
And the drugs are getting out there. In 2002, only 50,000 Africans had them. Today, over 1.3 million do.
Hanging out with good company, aren't I?
And that Bono attributes largely to President Bush's pledging $15 billion to the effort.
Is the humanitarian work more interesting to you now than the night job of Rockstar?
Oh, no. I think my work here as an activist and as a lobbyist, it's taken a lot of my time, but it just means that when I do get into the studio or do get to meet my bandmates, I feel like I feel like I can really be myself.
For Bono, both worlds seem to be coming beautifully together. Bono.